Good morning.
I've entitled this Keep Calm and Carry On. We're going to be looking through the next section in our reading of 2 Corinthians, and it's 2 Corinthians 6, 3-7, and that can be found on page 1162 of the Church Bibles, if you have a Church Bible. And Dave told me he was going to do a financial talk, and he said he was a warm-up, and he said, Tim, doesn't matter how, whatever you bring will just be so much more interesting than the finances. So that's really encouraging, obviously. So let's just get straight in and read the scripture. I've got it here. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, and in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Now, being a Christian isn't easy. Sometimes we can think that when you become a Christian that, you know, everything will just be made so much easier. Jesus can just take away everything. But that is not the case. It's probably completely the opposite, that we will face far more challenges and trials because of our faith, because we are challenged daily as to how we live our lives and the decisions that we make and how we respond in situations of troubles and trials. And it's through these times that we just need to lean not on our own understanding, but trust in God. And it's through this that it causes us to dig deep, and when no one else will stand, we will. And if we look and we just look to Jesus' example, we read that he foresaw the suffering that he was to come through, and yet he endured through that for us. And we are in a constant spiritual battle where we can be hard-faced and hard-pressed on every side, and when things aren't going well around us, you know, there's that challenge of what do we do? Do we maybe just fall into that sort of self-pity and just wallow, or do we throw the towel in? You know, enough is enough. Or do we dig deep and seek God and trust in him in all of these things? And when we decide that is, we can weather any spiritual storm that we may face because we're deciding to put our understanding in God, and that we can endure on. And that's not to say that it won't be tough or a painful journey. But that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at that endurance that Paul talks about. And that endurance is the courageous ability to pass the breaking point and to not break, and to greet the unseen with a cheer, which is a huge challenge. And when we do that, it changes the very nature of our trials and troubles into strengths and glories. So we're going to unpack this message into two parts. Firstly, we're going to look at some of the trials and troubles that Paul went through. And then we're going to look at how Paul responded and sort of like the God-given gifts that he talks about, that God helped him approach these troubles and help him endure through. So let's move on. So let's just reread verses 4 and 5. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger. Now, what I found really interesting when I was reading this is actually Paul groups all of those trials and troubles into sets of three. And through the sort of the background reading I've been doing on this, one of the commentaries was really interesting, and it talks about that sort of separating into the three. And it talks about the first set, which we can look at, it's those internal conflicts. So we read again about troubles, and that these might be the situations that just really weigh down on our hearts. And they just put a burden on our spirit and just cause us just to be really disheartened and to be disappointed. And we just need to be wary of these because, you know, they can be the first point that sort of can start us into some sort of spiral of disheartenment. The next is we look at hardships, and again, just similarly, just the inescapable pains of life. And unfortunately, there are just certain things that everyone goes through and that everyone sort of bears. And one of the greatest of these is just the sorrow of life. And the final one of these is distresses. And these are these anxieties, worry, when you find yourself in a situation with no space to move or escape from. The situations in which just the walls of life just seem to be pinning down on you and closing around, almost suffocating. But what we read about and what we're going to look through later on is just the endurance and the God-given gifts that Paul talks about later helps just God to break through in these situations and you to be just to build on that endurance and for a way to come. And we think of the situation, obviously you can see from the picture of the Israelites, and you can just imagine what they would have felt like. They've just been freed by Pharaoh, and they are on their way, they're walking through the desert on their way to freedom, going searching out in terms of new land, of where to go. And, you know, all of a sudden they can start hearing this noise on the, maybe they hear this noise on the wind as Pharaoh's changed his mind, and they can hear maybe the chariots surging towards them. And I would be worried in that situation. They've turned the corner, and what's in front of them is the Red Sea, a huge, vast sea that's, well, it's immovable, really. And they turn back, and they can't go back because that's where the Israelites are coming. They're coming to, the Egyptians are coming, and they're chasing down these Israelites. And so they start to worry, and panic starts to set in. And what do they do? Because they can't go back, and they can't go forward. And we read in Exodus 14, 13 to 8, what happens next. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And they did. They moved on. And God can break through in seemingly impossible situations like that. Faced with the Red Sea, nowhere to go. God can break through. And he can break through today. And we read of the next sort of trials that Paul faced in his ministry. The external trials. One of these for Paul would have been beatings. You know, for many, for Paul and for many Christians, you know, even today, you know, it's sort of the suffering isn't just limited spiritual suffering, but physical suffering as well. And there are many who do go through that even today. And it's worth just thinking about this, the strength of those who would have gone through that physical suffering, because if they didn't go through that physical suffering in those early days, you know, we might not be here as in sort of as strong force as we are today because of that suffering that they would have gone through. The next we read about is imprisonment. Paul was imprisoned for his faith. And there's always been those who would sooner abandon liberty than their freedom, than abandon their faith. And that is, again, said today. I mean, we look at the terrible situation that is going on in the Middle East. And, you know, though that might not be happening here, it might be something different for us where, you know, we're in our friendship groups and with our friends now and about, you know, how we decide to live and what we decide to make a stand on that's different to the world because of our faith. So it's about standing firm in our faith. And finally, he talks about riots. Back in the day, there might have been sort of more hostile riots and more of a violent background to them. But today, you can even change. You know, we can face a mockery of the crowd for your faith. You can start to be pressed on, and people can start making fun of your faith at school, in the workplace, and it can really feel sort of like that victimization. But it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage and be strong. And the final set of three trials that Paul faced was about the effort in the Christian life. So firstly, he talks about hard work. And for him, these are the situations where we can reach the point of sheer exhaustion. The kind of hard work that takes every part of the body, you know, every effort of the mind and the spirit. And we just give all we can, and it can leave us drained. And because we as Christians, we are God's laborers. But it's about just pushing through in those situations. We've had a really interesting last week with the Pumas. Love the Pumas, love them. It can go from a point of joy with unending potential. I just look at this group and I just love them, and I think, you know, what a fantastic bunch of lads, you know. And so we started off last week. We had last Saturday, you know, thanks to the generosity of the people in this in the church, we were able to go and see Linvoy and watch a Pompey game at Portsmouth. I call them Pompey. They're called Portsmouth Football Club. And we had to spend time, you know, bonding as a team, being, just spending really good time. And it was a real encourager, you know. And then on the Monday after, lots of lads came to an Alpha course, you know. And it was just really amazing to see, firstly, to see these lads come along, you know, these lads not brought up at all understanding Christianity. And just to see, just to hear them be really honest about where they are with their thoughts on Christianity. And I went home that night thinking, wow, God, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this group. Let me be a part of this group. And I went home with a smile, just an absolute beaming smile. And then on Tuesday, we had a training session, and it was the most scrappy, bitty, frustrating training session I've had in a while. Like, there was infighting, arguments, not like real, just like arguments, so infighting. And you go home and you just think, what is the point? You know, so we're in a spiritual battle. And the point is, I look at these lads and I think, wow, what amazing potential they have. And to see these young men come to Christ would be absolutely amazing. And that is why I do this. And that is why when sometimes, you know, the training sessions don't go well, you remember the good times. And within you, that sort of grit and determination just to sort of grab it by the scruff of the neck and just to keep going and be like, you know, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And then we look at another sort of example of the sleepless nights. You know, Paul would have spent lots of nights praying, but there would have been other sleepless nights, maybe due to, you know, worries and anxieties. And that can be the same for us today. You know, maybe the situations that we find ourselves just worrying about, you know, maybe with family, maybe with our jobs, maybe with our friends and neighbours. And we just need to be aware of these. And another one is hunger. And Paul went hungry for the faith. He was prepared to miss a meal for his faith. Now today, you know, it might not be hunger for us, but, you know, are we prepared to, in the effort of the Christian life, to do something similar? Are we prepared to give up some of our time to serve and to keep going for God? So that is the trials that he faced. Next, I'm going to just look at sort of how he approached these and the God-given gifts that he were really important to him that allowed him just to keep going with that endurance. So this is a LucasAid advert that was done a while ago. It's called LucasAid versus Water. Now here I have a LucasAid Sport. Really good. Honestly, if you're a sportsman or a sportswoman, sorry, you'd love these. There's three main taglines to a LucasAid Sport. And those taglines are hydrate, fuel, and focus. Now, the purpose of this drink is to enhance your hydration, like I just mentioned, and help maintain performance during a prolonged session of endurance exercise. So yesterday, I had one of these after football. We had a football game yesterday, and I was absolutely knackered after, so I thought, you know what, get myself a Lucozade. Also, because I was preaching on it, meant I had to get another one to drink, one to bring. And these do help you. And the Christian life is one prolonged endurance exercise. So we need to be taking our Lucozade. And I'm also on commission, by the way, so you know, come speak to me afterwards if you'd like a deal. So this advert, Lucozade versus water, was to look at the capability of those during prolonged exercise, so endurance exercise. So they had endurance exercise is like sort of the cardio aspect. So I don't know if you can see, but they got treadmills up there, and they had basically they just got people on a treadmill and just kept them running to that point, that breaking point that we sort of mentioned earlier. And what they did is they had one group, obviously, who were drinking Lucozade, and another group who were drinking water. And the ones who were drinking the water just couldn't sustain themselves at that high level of intensity. They just, you know, it's almost like that Duracell bunny. They stopped. They just weren't able to keep going. But the ones with Lucozade could keep going. And these God-given gifts that we're gonna look at are our Lucozade. They are our Lucozade for the Christians, and they will help us keep going and help us maintain that prolonged endurance during our lives. And this is what we're going to look at. So let's just reread those verses, 6 and 7. In purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Interestingly enough, Paul's done exactly the same with that he did with the trials. He's grouped them into sets of three. And the first ones we can look at, and we can look at these as God-given qualities or given gifts of the mind. So the first one, purity. So, you know, purity of mind just helps us come into God's presence. And that feeling when you're in God's presence and you just feels like everything else, all that weight and everything that we may be carrying just sort of falls away because we're just in God's presence and He is restoring us as we draw close to Him. The next one we look at is understanding. We might not necessarily see the whole picture. Like Paul was talking about earlier, you know, with God's got a plan, and we might not see all of that picture, but God has a plan, and He can give us wisdom and insight into certain situations. And Jesus had this insight when he was being crucified. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And equally, He can even give us understanding of what needs to be done. You know, again, we said earlier about Jesus, He understood the purpose of what His suffering was going to bring about, and that was going to bring about the joy. And because of that suffering, it means that we can come into God's presence. And the last one on this set, He talks about patience. I need to be a more patient person. I think for our generation, my generation, sometimes it's because called the Google generation, you know, you've got instant access to everything. You want things now. But like Moses said, you know, we've got to be still and wait upon the Lord. Because God can break into situations, seemingly impossible situations, God can break into, but we just need to be patient and give Him the chance to break in there rather than just steam ahead, like almost like a bull in the china shop. And I'm thankful for God for the patience that He gives me with the pumas. Just being able to keep going, just to sort of understand that they're lads with testosterone and things happen, but I can see the bigger picture, and it's about being patient.
We then look at the next sort of set of three, which are the God-given qualities of the heart. And maybe these can link into those sort of external trials that we face, how we should respond when we're faced with those external trials of the beatings or the imprisonments and the riots. The first one he talks about is kindness, which we can look at and say that's the quality that thinks far more of others than of itself. So we kind of think, well, how could we be more kind in situations when we're struggling? And it seems like all my examples today are going to be about the Pumas. They're just a fantastic group who, as a preacher, they give you lots of examples. So yesterday we had the game, and before the game we met at the church here. So we were sitting in the foyer, and one of the lads turns to me and says, "Tim, what's with all the trainers on the football table?" And I was like, "What? We don't have loads of trainers." But I noticed he's talking about the shoeboxes, and I'm saying to, so then I start explaining what the shoeboxes are. And we've already heard from Jane, you know, what it is. It's about, you know, you fill up a shoebox with lots of gifts, and then you give that to someone who's less fortunate. And then he goes and says, "I never knew there were so many nice people in Shepparton." And and it's true, you know, for someone maybe in the world whose number one aim is to look out for number one, which is themselves, that idea of being kind and maybe doing something that doesn't serve you but helps someone else, it's almost alien to them. And he was, yeah, really interested and just sort of in awe at this idea that, you know, as a church, you know, this is what we do, and we try and get behind, you know, just trying to bless someone else and who's less fortunate. The next one is the Holy Spirit. You know, in all things we do, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The challenge for us today, and maybe at the time of the end of ministry, is, you know, are we regularly being prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, we're going to look at God's power in a bit, but, you know, in the way we face these trials, if we're Spirit-led, then we'll just commend ourselves in a way that honours God. And in sincere love, the love that no matter what somebody does to you, we will seek nothing other than that person's highest good. Which means when someone cuts you up on the road or tackles you harsh in a game of football, insults you, maybe says your work isn't good enough, the way we respond should be with an unflinching goodwill. And that is a challenge to us all. To be like, you know, I'm going to respond in a way that is completely against, again, similar to kindness, what the world says I should do. The world says I should get angry and say, "No, not having this. I'm not happy that you cut me up. I'm going to speed up next to you at the next set of red lights and just shout abuse at you." But no, we're just going to let them go and respond with an unflinching goodwill. And finally, God, we read Paul talks about the God gifts, so the equipment for how we can keep going in the Christian effort. And we think of all the gateways that we have into the church. We've got jubblies, we've got bubblies, venture, youth, Cafe Tuesday, Sunday joint, the gaming club, Pumas, ladies, men, timber, all our cell groups, all of these gateways. Then we think on top of that, you know, where we live, you know, our workplaces, our schools, there is just so much in, and there's so many different people that we can interact with and share about our faith. And it may seem overwhelming, but God is our sustainer. And the potential of everlasting life, and the, like with those Pumas that I was talking about, the potential just to keep going because, you know what's at stake. I know what I want for those boys. I would love for them to, you know, come and know God in a personal way because I've experienced God in a personal way and I want nothing less than that for them. So that makes it just worth the effort in proclaiming the good news. So we look at the different ways. In truthful speech, God provides us with the words to say, and he is the one who softens hearts. So when you share something, be positive. I always seem to do this where I might share something about my faith to someone and I think, "Oh, I've said all the wrong words." I'll go home and reflect on it later and I'll be like, "I've said all the wrong words. I should have said this, should have said that." But no, be positive, because you don't know what God's doing in that person's heart. You don't know if what you said were exactly the right words that that person needed to hear. So when we're sharing the faith, the words that you say, being confident that they are God-given words and that they, that person will receive them how God wants them to receive them. Next, we look at in the power of God. In all things, I think, let's just recognize that God is in control and God's given it to us and it is his plan we are following. And it says in Ephesians 6:1, be strong in the Lord and in the mind and in the strength of his might. Let's be that group who drinks the Lucozade and is able to sustain ourselves when others are, you know, when all around is not. And finally, he talks of with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. And I love this image. And this is from the film Gladiator. And it just looks like he's just literally charging in. He's got a shield and he's got a sword and he's just going for it. And let's be the same. You know, we're commissioned by God. We look at all those gateways that I've just listed and talked about. Let's just go on the offensive. Let's be commissioned by God. Go on the offensive. Because it says in the Bible, in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Let's go out on the offensive for God, and let's go into his harvest field and reap what he has sown. And I just want to finish on my reflections. Dave was telling me that the first person to hear the preach is the preacher. And I've been challenged by a number of things. I hope you've been challenged by some of the things that I've said today. To look at the bigger picture, like I said earlier, not just rushing in like a bull in a china shop, but just asking God to break into situations. Not being disheartened when things don't go the way I plan. It's about recognizing that God is in control and it's God's plan. And I've got an idea of what I think should happen, but God's idea is God's idea is final, really, and that's the plan that we need to follow by. Being empowered and commissioned by God to share his gospel. And finally, standing firm in my faith and not to be disheartened or just fall into a sort of a pit of pity, really. But to endure on and drink my Lucozade, to regularly pray, regularly meet with God, regularly come into his presence, and just to keep going in my Christian life. I want to talk about life is a roller coaster, really. Not the Ronan Keating song, but I was praying about this and I just had these thoughts that the Christian life is a roller coaster. It's an adventure with God. There may be ups, there will be downs. There'll be twists and turns, and we may find ourselves upside down, doing a full U-turn, going backwards, and all the while still constantly hurtling through. But if we just take a stop and a moment to think, well, actually, God is the track, and that's God's plan for us. And obviously, you can see they're held in, and just think of Jesus as the straps that held us in. He's the one who covers us, and he protects us, protects our hearts. And the power that is surging through, that is moving this roller coaster from start to finish, is his Holy Spirit, his guide and his helper to guide us through to where God has planned for us. So I just want to pray, and then I think we're going to have some time of worship. Father God, I thank you for these words, Lord. I pray that you challenge us and challenge our hearts, Lord. I pray that as a church, we'll be the ones who drink Lucozade, Lord. We'll be the ones who seek after you. We'll be the ones who take up those God-given qualities and be the ones who just really press into you and just can see and to keep going when all we want to do is give up, Lord. I pray that we lean on your understanding and not our own. And Father, above all, fill us with your Spirit and help us live our lives in a way that honours you and brings glory to your name, Lord. Amen.